This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for a little puck around and find out another day, another comeback victory for your Dallas Stars. Can I give you a little bit of audio? I know you're excited, Corey, and I also want to know your breakdown of how you watched all these games. Cut number 8, if you will, Joe Pavelski doing awesome things.
It'll be played back to the far point. Tanev looking for traffic in front. They score. That took a deflection as Tanev just threw it to the net. And the Stars take a 3-2 lead here in the second period.
Now, that would be the last goal of the game. We were just talking about this off air. There was a very nerve-wracking moment where it looked as though Buffalo had tied the game up. And then we were joking off air. Unless that was Wemby you were defending, that was definitely a high stick. And so when they went back in the replay and then props.
Do you think Wemby can skate?
No.
Do you think it's harder to skate when you're tall?
For sure,
yes.
I do.
And it's more terrifying, too, because it's farther
your
fall.
Your head is further from the ice.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
I don't know if he can skate, but I bet that it is harder for taller people.
That's why they're only short MMA fighters.
Actually, you know what? There used to be this MMA fighter, Stefan Struve. He was like 6'11", maybe 7 foot. He got knocked out spectacularly multiple times, and it was like watching a building being demolished the way he would just cut, or a tree
Timber.
Getting cut. Yes, there is a couple of highlights you can look up where he falls and it's just like, because he was falling for so long. It was amazing. Anyway, Look for a second like Buffalo had gotten the tying goal. They went back and reviewed it. Props to the fans at the AAC who were doing their cosplay ref stuff. Or they were doing a fantastic job, and they were already pointing down to their, like, hey, no goal.
Did they put Victor in the box as well at some point during the broadcast?
I think at that point they did. In this instance that I particularly saw the fans, they were judging if it should have counted as a goal or
not
with Victory Green. It did not. Dallas wins once again. This is their 25th comeback win of the season.
Obviously, I would rather not have comeback wins. Especially 25 of them. That seems like a lot.
Okay, I will tell you, keep in mind, that could also be...
You got down early.
You gave up the first goal.
Okay.
You know, like, if you give up the first goal, that counts as a comeback win. And guess what? Yesterday, the Stars did give up the first goal in 4 minutes. They tied the game 2 minutes later. That still counts. And then they fell behind again.
Okay.
That still counts as a comeback goal.
Well, then I'd still like to score the first goal and the last goal.
Okay.
And be a winner.
I think that's fair.
If that's okay. Man, 82-0.
That would take a long time to do that study, but I would like to know how many times teams, if you score the first goal and the last goal, win.
I feel like
probably a pretty good amount.
If you just shut them out every time and score multiple or just one goal, then you've done it.
I'd often just said, score 7 goals. Yeah. You know, score 7 goals and you win.
I mean, they did that.
That's been Reggie's saying since we met.
Mm-hmm. The best analytic I ever found was, if you score more than the other team, you win 100% of the time.
I heard Mike say that on radio once, and I was like,
it's 100% of that one. Yeah. Like, you can't analytic it any other way.
Okay. That's... good to know. You guys are really on point.
You spit
right
facts
now.
On the fans.
Yes, you do. The Stars have now won 15 of their last 18 games. By the way, if you're looking for a pretty goal, go out of your way to go back and watch the Wyatt Johnston goal, where it's essentially, I'm going to do a terrible job of describing this because, you know, I'm not Razor. It's a reverse goal between two defenders where he's not looking at the net and he kind of spins around and shoots it. It's incredible the way he worked through the traffic after missing an attempt and getting it back from Harley.
Okay. You know what, Kevin?
Look, you should go look at it. I did a poor job of describing it. It was a neat looking goal.
Next week, I'm gonna request one of Mike's friends be on the show with us.
Okay.
And we'll see if Mr. Rhea wants to describe it that way.
Is it Rhea or Ray?
We'll ask him. Yeah.
And if it was a reverse goal, I think he's going to back me up on this.
We'll ask him if he wants to come on and
there's
explain
an A
it
at
all.
The end of his name.
Mm-hmm.
It's R-E-A.
I always thought it was Rhea. I don't know why.
I think it's just Ray.
I'm going to listen to him say it on the broadcast, and I'll just, if he says it right, I'll be like, I'm not arguing with that guy.
If I say Ray.
What do you mean if he says it right? Isn't however he says it the right way to say it?
Do you guys think of Darth Vader when you say the word Ray because of Field of Dreams?
Wow, that's a lot
of... I thought you were
going to
say because of the Star Wars sequels.
What's his name in real life?
James Earl Jones?
Yeah. James Earl Jones, yeah. Ray, because every time he says Ray, I think of Darth Vader.
Okay.
But then I think of Field of Dreams.
And he, you know what? Ray Liotta's in that movie, too.
He is.
He's Shoeless Joe, and he's dead now.
And his name's
both of them
Ray.
Are. Shoeless Joe and Ray Liotta.
Rest in peace.
How did we get here? We're just talking about the Wyatt Johnson.
I was just trying to help you out getting somebody. Because
he said Brian Rhea, and then I was like, I think it's just Ray. Uh-huh. And then every time I say Ray, I think of Field of Dreams, and the person who I think of saying Ray is Darth Vader. That's how we got there.
Fair.
I have a question about that. Mm-hmm. What if Anakin hadn't gone bad? How would things have turned out?
Actually,
I don't know. There was a zillion Jedi, and there was a zillion other people in line to be the other bad person.
What if Ben
let the hate flow. You know you want to.
What if
just
Ben
lean
Solo
into it.
Had actually been a bounty hunter?
See, and now you're going to be like, hey, what if Qui-Gon hadn't got killed by Darth Maul? Would he have been able to keep Anakin on the straight? Yeah, okay, look, we don't have time for that
what
right now.
What if Leia had been trained in the way of the Jedi?
She was.
Like what? Eventually. Like really grown up as a Jedi.
Look, wouldn't have mattered. There's a zillion other ones.
There are a lot of things.
Disney made a zillion Jedi.
That we, and I could just ignore what happened with Disney. Uh-huh. There are a lot of things we can get into. Right now, I want to talk about the stars.
Okay.
All right.
Jake Ottinger.
He's the goalie.
That is true. Who's the other goalie?
I call him Westwood 1. Because
you call him Wedgewood 1.
Scott Wedgewood.
Yeah, Scott Wedgewood.
He is 8-0-0.
He's not number 47, is he?
In his, I honestly
I
do not
so.
Know what
I don't
number
think
he
is. Sorry.
He's 8-0-0 in his last eight starts with a goals against average of, I believe, 1.65.
Otter's
and
out.
And a save percentage of 9.39. No, this is Ottinger in his last eight games.
Oh, I thought you were
not
saying.
Scott Wedgewood.
I was like, he's been really good. What are we playing Ottinger for?
He also has two shutouts during this time. He is peaking at the absolute, absolute right time.
Scott Wedgewood's number 41, by the way.
Dang it.
I wanted to go.
So close.
Sean and RJ had Craig Ludwig on, and Craig Ludwig's on the Spits and Suds podcast.
He might be recording one right now.
Boss man Gavin Spittle. And I thought this was a really interesting point. Cut 13, if you can, Reggie. This is kind of talking about the way that the Stars are playing, but also where they're trusting Otter.
They don't have to worry now. I don't think Pete DeBoer has to worry so much now about getting the right players against or away from whatever the other team wants to do. With the, you know, the home team obviously has last change. I don't think you have to worry about that. I think the players know that. We're just going to go out and play. We don't really care who matches up. So anytime you play on the road and you play in the playoffs on the road, especially, who needs to be your best player? You know, it's your goaltender. And so at the end of the day, for the most part, playoff hockey, it ends up being, you know, he's one of the top two guys, top three guys, that most important ones. So let's play to our strengths. And I think that's what this team can do. And I think that's exactly what they're doing. They're saying they get down last night. Do you think there's one guy that was panicking when they were down a goal? Do you think there's anybody panicking when they're down two goals going into the third period? I just think there's a belief in this group that's like, we've done this all year. We've been down. We can come back. Otter's going to take care. You know, he's not giving up any more goals. We already know that. And I just think that's the belief that they have in each other.
There's a lot of things that he kind of touched on there. And the key point is their trust in their goalie.
Yeah.
And like where he is right now, and I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now of him kind of building up to the point where the rest of the team can be cocky because they know that dude's there with them. it's kind of like I'm pretty cocky about our show because I know Kevin's right here, and I'm like, we're pretty damn good because Kevin's really good at what he does. And so that's one of those feelings.
In your face, Mike.
Mike's very good at what he does. But I think Mike and I both get pretty cocky that we know we have Kevin to keep it on the rails whenever it gets
I know.
Off.
We hate when you're not here because then we have to be serious.
You can be serious when I am here,
get
too.
Mad
Nobody
at us.
Likes that show.
Yeah,
all right?
Everybody says they don't like it.
Everybody loves the show where you get mad. Anyway, back to the point. Otter's at a point where he knows, oh, you know what? That one slipped by me, but it's not going to happen again. And the rest of the team has a lot of faith in it. The thing he talked about before that, though, I thought was really interesting, too. This is DeBoer and the players all knowing they have every tool in the toolbox.
Yeah.
They are a complete tool set. So, and I'm not saying they're tools, Mike, but this is when you, I did give this comparison to Kevin earlier, Mike, maybe you'll understand it, too. If I go, if I'm a manager and I'm like,
am I smart as Kevin? Is that what you're saying?
You're not. But if I have,
that's so rude.
If I have a degree
for the entire universe, right?
Yeah, Universal Studies, UTA. Your son's going there. Deal with that.
If I'm a manager and I go into it, I have one power hitter, and they're like, okay, but do you have guys that can get on base? You're like, no, but I have a power hitter. You're not good enough.
Angels.
Yeah, exactly. Your team's not going to be good enough. But if you go, I have four or five power hitters and also a bunch of guys that can get on base, you
Rangers.
Have a complete toolbox.
Yes.
Yes. The Rangers had a complete toolbox last year. They had everything they needed to win a championship. The Stars currently have the complete toolbox. They have guys that have grit on the defensive part. They have skilled players on the defensive side. They have skilled players up front. They have guys that can fly. They have guys that can hit you. They have everything. Not really fly, Mike, but they have all the things that they need to win a championship. And DeBoer isn't out there going, man, I got to cover this up because this isn't good enough. DeBoer's like, I can just send my guys out there and say, go.
And you see it with the records that we've talked about pretty continuously. The Stars still have an opportunity to have the most regular season points they've ever had. They still have the opportunity to take the Presidents for just the third time in franchise history. They had their 25th comeback win, which ties a franchise record. They have the most points they've ever gotten on the road. So you just keep them stack up, stack up, stack up, which is a great thing. It also intensifies pressure going into the playoffs because this definitely feels like a Stanley Cup or bust kind of team. And by the way, somebody asked if Tanev was back. He played 20 minutes last night. So
I think they're asking Kevin. I think it's more like, is he back?
No,
like UT? Like when UT was back?
Maybe not exactly.
Yeah.
But they said, we're back.
I think he is back.
Okay.
Back.
Okay.
Ben,
not just physically.
No, not
there.
Just back. He's back.
He's back.
And so that's another positive for the Stars because we all agree that was a very savvy move that they made at the deadline. And they haven't clinched Central Division yet. And they haven't clinched the number one seed in the West yet, but this brings you one step closer. One more win, you've got it. It could be a combination of Colorado and Winnipeg and Vancouver trip ups. And I think your next game is against Winnipeg.
Yeah, we know what their name is.
With you on that. They have actually, ever since, it feels like right about the time you started calling them Lose-a-Peg, they have stepped it up. They've won four straight.
Good. They have ice advantage over Colorado. I'd like to play Lose-a-Peg in the second round over Colorado. I'm confident now that the Stars will beat Colorado in the playoffs, not by like a 4-0 or 4-1 situation. I think it'll be a battle, but you play Lose-a-Peg, you're winning that in five.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. The Stars play Winnipeg. If the Stars win, they can clinch the number one seed in the West. However, that also makes it much more likely that Lose-a-Peg will be... they will not have home ice against Colorado.
What's your favorite sport that is predetermined who wins?
Pro wrestling, brother.
It doesn't matter who the Stars play.
I like it.
Man, that is the second wrestling reference of the day, although I'm pretty sure the first one only came to my headset.
I do want to point out, Kevin.
Is that The Rock says that?
Yes.
Yeah, jabroni.
At some point, you might get mad and want to yell at Mike today. But I want you to remember a moment that you didn't see happen. Earlier you said something about the Presidents, and Mike looked up and he almost made a joke, but he stopped. And I'm proud of Mike for that moment.
I didn't say trophy. I just said the president.
And he had all these thoughts. You could see every. He was like, oh, my God. Yeah. It was like a little kid that just walked into a circus. He was like, which one do I want to go to first?
I'm pretty sure he screened Olympus is Falling in his head when you said they took the presidents.
A lot. That was happening.
He held back so that you could finish your point. So just remember.
I appreciate that, Mike. Thank you very much for that restraint. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk Mavs, Hornets, and getting extra rest going into the playoffs. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Bridges leads them with 12, Brandon Miller 11, and Davis Bertans 10. The look away and the reverse finish! Put that one on the highlight reel.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The Mavericks, as they should have, made short work of the Hornets. I thought the game was over in the first 9 minutes. I realized.
Yes.
Is that fair?
Completely agree.
Okay. So it's 31-14, and Luka's already scored 21 points to go along with his 5 rebounds.
I was like, man, he really hates Grant Williams. I wasn't watching the game. I was at the Ranger game and just getting ready for pregame, and I'm just checking the score, and I'm like, oh, man, the Mavericks are kicking butt. And that story Michael Finley told here on 105.3 The Fan, it looks like he's reliving that story in the first quarter here.
It really did. And so it felt like the game was over at this point. I want to go to cut number 10. We're going to talk more about this game, but I want to go to cut number 10 when Kyrie is going in for a layup, and the idea that this is what commentating for the Hornets does to you.
And Dante Exum comes down with the rebound. Irving, you know he's going to make the layup. Oh, he missed it.
We bleeped it because...
That's Charlotte?
Yeah, it is Charlotte. It sure does sound like he's saying effing, doesn't it?
Yes, and I've listened to this multiple times as I obviously had to add the audio. I think he was going to say funky layup. Right? Because, you know, Kyrie Irving gets
down. It was
down.
Like he under the basket.
He does, you know, reverse layups.
Very creative.
A lot of English. But it very much sounded like he said he's going to blow the bleeping layup.
Reggie, my son had this question. And I feel like if anybody has the answer off the top of the head, it would be you.
Oh, thanks.
I was talking about Kyrie Irving and the English he puts on the ball, especially off the glass. And he goes, has it always been called English, and why is it called English? And I was like, that's a great question. I don't know, but I've always said that or heard it and then repeated it a whole bunch of times. I don't know why it's called English. Do you know why they're putting English off the glass?
I don't. Well, I mean, I feel like this starts from billiards, if I had to take a good guess.
And why did billiards say they've put English on the pool ball?
That I am going to do some research for, and hopefully by the end of the segment, I'll have an answer.
I don't know the answer to that.
We're
going to
educate our audience on English on a ball.
In the meantime, can you play that cut one more time of the Hornets?
The uncensored one? Or
No. Not
is this Del Curry?
Not the uncensored one.
It. Oh.
And Dante Exum comes down with the rebound. Irving, you know he's going to make the layup. Oh, he missed it.
Because he just said
he missed
like,
the layup. He was like, another layup against my Hornets.
He just sounds so tired of everything he's seeing when he's like, you know, they're going to make that effing layup.
When was the last time Charlotte was decent at basketball?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And we stole one of their best players.
Like when Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning hated each other, that was about the last time I think they were good at basketball.
By the way, English players, British players in pool would do the side spin, and nobody was doing it at the time. So they just called it English because that was the style, is that British players were doing that.
Sorry, what Corey, year? You're wrong. It's because of the basketball player Alex English. Are you sure?
No, I'm not, actually.
According to AI on the internet.
Don't ask.
Why does everybody
think Allen Iverson? Because he went to Georgetown, which is a great school. It's a great education. Let's ask AI all the questions
now. I don't think that's what he's
I looked it up on internet.com.
Ask Patrick Ewing, ask P.E.
It's because of Old English, the 40 bottle.
Oh, my gosh. What a drink.
I guess they don't want to ask Sleepy Floyd because he was sleeping at Georgetown.
Wasn't Old English like super cheap?
I have no idea. I've never bought Old English in my life.
Or is that an alcohol?
I thought it was an alcohol.
There's Old Milwaukee.
It could be both.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same price as Mickey's. Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
About back in my day.
Good question from a 14-year-old, which I feel like we haven't solved yet.
I just told you the answer to the question. English players were putting side spin on the ball in billiards, and so everybody around the world was like, "That they we call it English.
What
That's
year?
Putting English on it." Back in the English times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see,
that's right.
You've what? Confused me. Were people traveling to play billiards? Like, at what
yes.
point?
Yes, people travel all over the world to play pool.
There used to be nothing to do, Mike,
yes.
before TV.
We didn't
and
have
they
TVs.
Figured out a pool table before they figured out, like, a gridiron?
Yes.
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 Let's felt this table and see what happens. Let's put holes on this table with felt and see what happens.
I think that's supposed to sound insane, but that was a perfectly reasonable statement you just made, Mike.
We need bumpers, though, on the side so the balls don't fall off.
So about the Mavericks,
yep.
Uh-huh. I guess.
I liked where you went with that.
I'm
I was having to figure
out when pool was made.
I was having a conversation with the Twitch, and then I felt compelled to get into that conversation
about
English.
I want you
English.
To be proud of me for keeping my joke to myself.
Me, I am proud
when
of you.
Was okay.
After that
what
one
was the joke?
Earlier this morning.
Pool.
I'll tell you.
About Japan.
Just to you. All right.
The 1340s.
Oh, my God.
That's they didn't what, yeah. have trains back then.
But they had pool cues.
Is that your barometer for, like, society
well,
saying, advancing?
Oh, let's go play the English.
You think the pool cues were straight, or were they, like, crooked branches that they were just like, we're going to...
Wait, did they really
one.
Not have trains? When did we get trains?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's another question.
I think it was during Doc Holliday. It was the Doc. It was Doc from Back to the Future. So whatever the Western times were, that's when trains were invented.
He got sent back...
1804?
Yeah.
500
he got sent back
years
to
later.
Oh my, we were playing pool for 500 years before we got trains.
We created pool in a hurry.
That's crazy.
Couldn't
dude.
Figure out any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they had straight sticks. People were good at making arrows.
You do see how it would be significantly easier to make a pool cue than a train, though, right?
Yeah. I just didn't know they were 500 years apart, which then makes it like all the people were traveling around the world to play the English in pool.
How were they traveling?
They're just walking.
Okay.
They had horses.
True horses.
Yeah.
Carriages.
Oh, yeah, carriages. When were carriages invented?
Hey!
I'm on it.
Kevin, I think we need to do a weekly segment called When Was Everything Invented? And we just start asking questions.
You know what, Corey,
and look it up on the internet.
I'm kind of mad right now because that's actually a pretty good idea.
Between
but
3,000 and 2,500.
So are we not talking Mavs? I don't know.
BC.
Well, I mean, the Mavs handled the Charlotte Hornets so handily in the course of that game.
I figured out a carriage in a hurry.
They got done with that game so early last night, they probably went and played
the
pool together.
It was 61-12 at halftime.
Some might call it a runaway train.
That is not
that
accurate.
That was the Phoenix Suns Clippers game.
It's not accurate. It did feel like that. All right. So, a couple of things. Luka played last night. He's played 28 of the last 30 games. And we talked about this going into the game. Kyrie has now played 30 straight games.
That's good.
And this might be something that we attack later, maybe in a few days. But if they win tonight and you've like, you lock up five, you're already in the real playoffs. Do you rest for a couple of games knowing that your playoff seed is going to be locked in?
Do you want me to float my theory out from pre-show this morning?
As long as it has nothing to do with any of the other stuff you talked about in this segment.
I can't guarantee it.
Then no.
Just Mike, say something.
Last night when I was watching the game and Luke is just like burying three after three, I was thinking to myself, he doesn't want to play this game. He was told you can be done by halftime if you get yours and we'll just move on.
I could see that.
And so I started thinking he's trying to get out of this game as early as possible. But then it seemed like he stayed in the game throughout the evening. And I was like, oh. And I started wondering if he's trying to make a late run at MVP. And if I understand you guys talking about rest here down the stretch.
He's never finished second in MVP. I don't know if that matters or not. But
and I wonder if there's a possibility that Luke is like, let me try and make this late run here and make my bid, make my claim to try and get this.
Can I throw this out? This is really basketball topic. I'm scared of falling to six because I'm scared of somehow the Nuggets losing one or two more games. I have no clue what their schedule is. And then all of a sudden it's Nuggets and Jamal Murray's healthy for the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't want that. The Clippers, here's what I don't know. Help me out here. I'm not following Kawhi Leonard's injury situation. I mean, is he 100% going to be ready for the playoffs?
I don't know that to be the case.
Because if Kawhi Leonard's out, you're going to beat the Clippers in a series, and I think beat them pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to face the Clippers.
Okay.
Now, if Kawhi's 100% healthy, it's going to be a heck of a matchup, and I can see the series going either way. I will pick the Mavs to win in six. But if Kawhi Leonard's iffy for the playoffs, I want the Clippers.
I think he was questionable on playing last night, or tonight, rather. So I think he's probably going to be good to go for the postseason.
Is it his knee again?
Let me double check.
I believe that is correct.
Because he beat the Mavericks and then was like, I'm done with the playoffs, which really stunk. You're like, why did you have to turn into Michael Jordan for two games and then quit? Quit two games ago.
And see, the thing about the Clippers, too, that I'm actually all right with is any one of those guys can go off on any given night, right? Like, they can, any one of those dudes, they're star players. But do they play as a team? And that's the difference between them and the Mavericks. The Mavericks have dudes that can go off at any point, but they are playing as a team right now. And they are far more athletically apt, Kevin. You know, yes, how I like to use apt, than they were in prior times when it was Luka versus the Clippers. They are a far more, like Gafford, PJ Washington, they are a tough, big team right now.
And a shorter-term goal that did get reached last night, and I do think this is a big deal. I totally understand what you're saying, Mike, about avoiding the sixth seed. But you did clinch a spot in the top six, and here's why that's important. Outside of just the rest, too, whether you think it's just Kyrie, Luka, whether you're hoping that Lively can be back and ready to go, the Mavericks end the regular season on Sunday, the 14th. The play-in tournament is the 16th through the 19th, which means the playoffs start the following Saturday and Sunday. And so now that you're in the real, real playoffs, your last regular season game will be Sunday. Your first playoff game will be the following Saturday or Sunday, which that's another week to get Lively back or to get rest for the rest of your players. However you cut it up, this is a good thing.
Things are up in the air, but I'm going to tell you, Mavericks are going to beat the Clippers. And then if everything stays the same, it's Minnesota versus, I'm just throwing this out here. Right now, I'm going to just take Sacramento as the 8 seed.
Yeah.
I understand. It could be any team between Phoenix, Sacramento, LA, and Golden State. Yep. You're beating that team, too, and you're going to the Western Conference Finals. Whoever it is, Minnesota, those teams in the play-in, the LA Clippers, as long as the Mavs are healthy in the playoffs, you're going to the Western Conference Finals.
Well, if that's the case, then we need to turn our attention to another game tonight, because the Nuggets and Timberwolves are playing. So
yeah, if all of a sudden the Nuggets go to the one seed, that changes my confidence.
They have the same record. Yeah. So it stands to reason, though not guaranteed, that the winner of this game will clearly be the favorite to be the number one seed. So if you want the Timberwolves, you need to take a look at this game tonight, and that should be the team that you're cheering for.
And the Nuggets do need to win this because they already don't hold the tiebreak with the Thunder. And this, I think they're 1-2 versus the Timberwolves. So if they win this, they would have the opportunity to get a tiebreak. Otherwise,
you could tumble down to three.
You are really close to that idea where that sixth seed is probably playing the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Okay. So if the Nuggets lose, you need to avoid the sixth spot.
I agree.
If the Nuggets win, then falling to six isn't the worst thing in the world because you get out of their bracket
till the final.
Yeah.
If you face them. Yeah.
And absolutely. Then you say Jokic versus Luka. Are you kidding me? To go to the NBA Finals and then beat the Boston Celtics as Brown and Tatum throw it away because Porzingis can't play 22 games in a row in the playoffs and sits out.
So this is a fun night of basketball for probably across the league. But if you're a Mavericks-centric fan, watch Mavs Heat almost immediately after that. They'll probably coincide. It'll go right into Nuggets T-Wolves.
Topic for another day. Would it be more shocking to the NBA world if the Mavericks win the NBA championship this year, or what was more shocking to the MLB world, that the Rangers won the championship last year?
Or if the Cowboys.
That would be the most shocking thing in the history of football.
I don't want to say that, but I understand
why
you did say that.
More shocking than.
Yes.
The Cardinals winning the Super Bowl?
He didn't even have to say a thing. He was like, yes, that is the answer. Okay.
I've seen them play playoff football.
I do like that topic. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. The Beast is here. Let's talk about it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Asking the questions that matter. Corey asked this question. He asked Mike, would you want to work with you To which Mike said, yeah, it would be a blast. I would like to keep tabs on how long you think that before how long you're like, hey, why don't you shut up and let me do what I want to do?
Yeah, it'd be great. We'd be going nowhere in a hurry. Uh-huh. Sometimes we'd think to each other, let's exit right here. And then we'd miss the exit and say, well, we're going to deal with it. And we're just going to keep talking. Maybe we'll stop talking. Maybe we'll look at our phone and get distracted by a text message or
an
email.
What do you mean the barn's full? That's what he's doing in these breaks.
Yeah, township, man. I'm trying to grow some hay and feed the cows and get my milk.
Wait, what is happening right now?
He's
I don't
playing
understand.
Farmland or something.
Yeah. It's a stupid game, and I need to delete it.
You play that game all the time.
I can see him.
Mike.
I can see him like
I'm
he's
addicted to it.
Him and Mike and Mike are sitting there. They're driving. Or maybe it's
that'd be a good name for a show.
Mike and Michael.
Why has nobody ever thought about this?
And they're driving, and he asks the question, "Should we exit here?" And the other one goes, "Yes." And then they both knuckleballs at the same time, and then they exit.
They smash into the sign when they don't actually exit. All right, right now, God willing, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Deep.
Now, normally, I think that mock drafts are stupid too far before the draft. We're getting pretty close to the draft. And one person that I very, very much respect their opinions is Dane Brugler. So I just wanted to run through one specific aspect of the beast. He's got Caleb Williams as his number one quarterback. Drake May, second. Jaden Daniels, third. Then J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix. I'm sure, I don't know if people would switch around Daniels or May, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who kind of fall in line with that. Maybe you switch around Nix and Penix. But I want to go all the way to the end of the beast. By the way, this thing is more than 300 pages. If you get the opportunity, check it out. It's amazing.
Okay.
But here's where he ranks those quarterbacks on his top 100 board. Because you guys, we're all have heard the same things, where it's looking like quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3. There's some people who think they're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, or 1, 2, 3, 5. So really high up in the draft. Dane Brugler has Caleb Williams as number one. Drake May, 4. Jaden Daniels, 8. J.J. McCarthy, 21. And so we're talking about somebody that they're looking like they're going to be a top 5 pick. And Dane, I know Dane is not necessarily the end-all be-all, but kind of feels like he is when it comes to scouting out prospects. He's like, you're taking the 21st best player, and you're probably going to trade up to get him in the top 5. That just feels like a poor strategy, just in theoretical football.
Mm-hmm. What does Broadus always tell us?
Don't window dress your board.
And does Dane do that?
Nope.
So, like, that's the Dane calls it like he sees it a lot of times. And then he also takes in information that he gets from GMs and sources around, and he applies that. I think he has like two separate things, right? Where his board says
versus
some of
mock.
His board and mock are kind of different in those respects. And I think Broadus is kind of the same way too. Broadus is like, pay more attention to this than any of the other stuff, because this is what I think about these players is how I would do it. But I think that is a pretty fascinating approach there.
And I was just going to throw out the other two quarterbacks that now we're hearing there's more and more buzz about them going in the first round. Dane Brugler has Bo Nix at 44 and Michael Penix at 52. And no, Mike, that is not Michael Penix's age, because I know you do like to take shots at him for being an older player. 52.
That's the degree he throws the ball from. 42 degrees.
I could actually see that. But yeah, so you might have 4 players taken in the top 5, with the lowest being in the 20s, and then 2 other first-round picks that Dane's like 44 and 52.
Well,
it just shows how much teams...
They don't... This goes back to the discussion of, did you build your team and then get the quarterback? Do you have the right... You know, are you building it the right way?
Yeah.
Or
did you assume the quarterback was going to fix your team?
Yeah. I mean, Chicago is lucky here. They did go 7-10. I know it wasn't great, but usually the guy that had the team that has the number one pick usually lost 13 mm-hmm. or 14
yeah.
games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are going to a team that was 7-10. You're not going to a team that was 3-14.
Yeah, they
and
decided
they have another premium pick too.
Yeah, they decided that the team was right, the quarterback wasn't, and then they sent him to Pittsburgh, and we'll see how that goes. So
Yeah, I am oddly intrigued to see how that goes.
I'm fascinated by it because this is another part of the conversation with Mike Tomlin, right? Like, if Mike Tomlin is who he is as such a great coach, will he be able to turn those two quarterbacks around? I don't know. I mean, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are two quarterbacks that the rest of everybody hates, and unless they're great. And then Tomlin had very untalented quarterbacks in Trubisky and Pickett, and so he's trying to figure that thing out right now.
Corey, are you a fan of analogies?
Yes.
I'm going to take you to the Jets owner, Woody Johnson. He was talking about Aaron Rodgers' potential VP run. This is what he said. I know you might think I'm making this up. I am not. Quote, this is what he told the New York Post. Aaron Rodgers is getting back to football 100%. He never left football. That was a momentary distraction. Maybe like going in the dark room or whatever.
The dark room.
Yes.
Oh, whenever he wanted to be a quarterback or not.
Or if you're developing photos, I don't know.
No, this was when, remember, he went to the dark room.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And hid for like 3 days.
Well, that was, yeah. And so this was the same as that.
Okay.
This was his dark room.
Going into politics for
yes, potentially
a spell?
Being a vice presidential candidate.
Would have been
it was
amazing.
Like going into the dark room, and now he's good.
Who's the most famous person you want to see be vice president right now?
Man, I feel like any answer to that question is incorrect.
Really?
I guess David Duchovny.
The Rock?
Ooh, The Rock's a good option. Because he ticks everybody off, doesn't care.
It feels like
but
the
it's
vice
also very
president
low.
Doesn't do anything.
That is true, but I would love to see a debate where he's up against, well, I think it doesn't matter what you think.
Yes.
Like, I would just love to see that happen in an actual.
He walks over and takes their microphone and just starts going, what I'm cooking.
I think that would be amazing. That feels very unlikely this year. All right, let's go from that to, you remember when Broadus said there might be more stuff with the Tavondre Sweat DWI? Well, of course, TMZ Sports is always here to figure these things out. Before he got arrested, one of the things that they talked about was he had been in a car accident and his car had flipped and fallen over on its side and kind of skid. So the cops are saying that the Dodge hit the Bronco from behind, causing it to lose control, roll over, and eventually come to a stop on its side. So this is a thing where, like, I get the DWI is bad, but when you hear things like that, you're like, it is really good that people walked away from this thing.
Yeah, for sure. And that's that feels like there needs to be the right repercussion here.
Yes.
Not just a, hey, man, this could cost you, and it doesn't cost him anything. Like,
yeah.
And again, everybody, something's going to hit you harder than money or whatever. It's always going to be something different, but feels like something he needs a real significant wake-up call with this. And yeah. I don't know if that was it or not. Like, that's the thing. That's what's scary.
You'd
I don't
hope,
know if that's,
right?
if that was it.
All right. Josh Allen. The Jags Josh Allen, not the quarterback Josh Allen.
Yeah, I saw this. We're going all in.
Yeah,
you're still Jag?
I have a jersey, yeah.
Okay.
5 years, $150 million contract with $88 million guaranteed, the league sources confirmed this morning. That's a chunk of money. We can focus on Josh Allen, but I know around here, a lot of people started saying, what's that going to make Micah's deal look like?
I hear you. I'm going to ask another question before we get to Micah.
Okay.
Is who do you think wins more games next year? Josh Allen in Buffalo or Josh Allen in Jacksonville?
Ooh.
Corey, you can join
I'm
if you would like.
I'm going to go on a limb. Josh Allen in Jacksonville.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's revisit this question, Kevin.
Josh Allen in Buffalo. Josh Allen in Jacksonville. Josh Allen in Jacksonville just got a huge contract. Who wins more games next year? Jacksonville, Josh Allen, or Buffalo?
Buffalo.
Josh?
Buffalo's a good team. They win a lot of games.
They did lose a lot of folks, though.
Yeah, I think.
Again, so do the Ravens.
Yeah, and you know what? This is where we'll get that decision of all of Josh Allen's interceptions. How much do they cost him? As he doesn't have maybe the right things around him.
By the way, have you followed like Stefon Diggs and what's he's been liking on Twitter? Somebody posted Bills are one of the most toxic fan bases and stuff. He's like, which. I don't know. I think it's kind of
funny. I guess the reason, my other reason too, is it looked like Trevor Lawrence was on the right path, and they took a couple steps back. So
agreed. Agreed. We finally know that the Eagles are going to play the Packers in Brazil. I will say, this feels like a pretty marquee game for the first go-around in Brazil, and that's going to be in week one.
The whole game. Go, Pack, go! E-A-T-L-E-S.
No.
That's what they do, both teams. That's like, there's a whole bunch of...
I just didn't want you to say that on our
There's a whole bunch of chanting. Eagles. Eagles are America.
I got appreciated if...
The American Eagle.
He's not wrong about that.
What the hell, dude? I thought you were just about to back...
That's our bird.
Cowboys.
But then he brought up our country, and that's the most important thing.
It's the hummingbird here.
What?
But it's the American eagle in the United States. Isn't the
mockingbird.
Mockingbird. Dang it.
I mean, we literally have a street that runs through the entire city called Mockingbird.
Yeah, but it doesn't like have a logo on it saying, well, that's the state bird.
It does. Over by Love Field, there's a sign.
I can't argue. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not, but I know that he is telling the truth on the Mockingbird. I got it wrong.
And then Terrell Suggs was arrested in Arizona for assault.
What?
As we devolve into bird talk.
That's what? Terrell Suggs?
Yes. Doesn't play anymore. But he did come out during the Baltimore game to try and liven up the crowd. Remember, he walked out. And for like 4 minutes, they got into it. And then Kansas City was like, hey, don't forget, we're still the champs.
Whoops. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, early MLB takes, including ones on Langford and the Astros. Are these overreaction or reality? Next on The Fan.